Okay, fine. So right at the beginning of Shmot, we find out, not surprisingly, you know the beginning of Shmot, this I don't have to remind you, right? Vayavidu Mitzrayim b'bnei Yisrael b'farech, vayimaru el chayihem b'avodah kasha v'chomer v'lvenim, v'v'chol avodah b'asadeh, kol avodatam asher avdu b'hem b'farech.
Yeah. It's absolutely terrible, but every time I hear b'chol avodah asher avdu b'hem, my mind immediately jumps to as the end of the pasuk.
Yeah, but that's not what's going on here, right? So they right, and they treated them with harshness. They got them to work right now. Right, Chazal in many different versions have an idea, often which they hang on the word bifarech, highlighting the fact that things started off easy. Right, so for example, one position in the Gemara in Sota says that what does Befarach mean?
Perach.
What is Perach, Eli? Right, with a soft tongue, right? That they slowly got them, right? Slowly got them into it. Alternatively, right, right. I mean, the other day there in the Gemara says, no, biperach really means bipricha. What's bipricha? Right, like with backbreaking work. I mean, it just means exactly what it says. The Rushalmi notes that it also might refer to the fact that at the beginning when the Jews came. To Mitzrayim, how were they treated? When they first came to Egypt. Yeah, very well, right? How do we know they were treated very well? Yes, thank you, right? Yosef was Viceroy, right? And what happened when they came in? Let's do a little bit of Chazara. What happened? Right, Paro came in, he said, go wherever you want, right? Right, wherever you want, right? I'll give you Goshen, I'll give you the best of the land, right? That was, right, so we know the beginning was nice, right? Whether it was because they were tricking them or legitimately they were being very nice, right? That is, right, that's the beginning. I found here, right, in this book, but this is, I think, a very interesting idea. So, right, the Gemara, right, what do we do to commemorate this bitterness? This shouldn't, right, be a surprise to any of you. What do we do to commemorate the bitterness? We eat things that are bitter. What do we call that?
The bitter thing.
Thank you. We call that maror, right? The bitter thing, which obviously you all knew, right? And the Gemara notes that, right, and again, this is like classic, right? But the things that what are the ideal things to be used for maror? So, right, no, that's the old Ashkenazi thing, right? But why did Ashkenazim use horseradish? Because that's what they had, right? That's what they had. What are you actually supposed to use, right? In the Gemara, it's not even clear horseradish you're yotze with, right, from the Mishnah, right? All the classic ones are all forms of lettuces, right, and things like that. Right? Yeah. Romaine lettuce and iceberg lettuce and endives and
personally I prefer arugula.
Right, whatever, right? Right, all these different right? Right. Right, ulshin and tamcha and harlin, harvin, chizrin, whatever these are, endives, chervil, erningo, I don't know what any of this means. Right, but some sort of right. All different types of lettuces. Now, what's the problem that everyone asks? Right? Everyone wants to know, well, what do you mean? Right? Why do we use these? Why don't we use something? Why is it these are clearly what the Mishnah is talking about? And right, why do we use that? So, and not something that's bitter. So what does the Gemara say?
That the core of the lettuce is bitter.
No, so that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says right? Mam mamorish marazesh tchilato rach v'sofo kasha. Af Mitzrayim tchilatan rach v'sofan kasha. Because the beginning, right, is bad. Have you ever had lettuce when it goes bad? What does it taste like? Extremely bitter, right? You ever try that, Chaim?
No.
But lettuce when it starts to spoil, if you taste it, it's like, oh my God, right? It's like a very bitter taste. And, right, Chazal therefore say that, well, that's part of the issue, is that we're commemorating Mitzrayim by having it, and Mitzrayim wasn't bitter at the beginning, right? It was sweet at the beginning. It was good at the beginning, and it only became bad later. And therefore, we specifically pick things that do that. But now here's what was new to me. Is the Ksav Sofer says, okay, so, well, then what are you commemorating when you have the Maror on Pesach night? Right? Are you, right? Ostensibly, you're commemorating the bitterness. But then why do we pick the things that talk about the, that are good? And in fact, I assume most of us who use romaine lettuce use it when it's not bitter, mm-hmm. right? So what are we doing? Are we commemorating the good, right? Commemorating the bad? I mean, what exactly are we doing? The Ksav Sofer has a fascinating psychological insight. And he says, we're commemorating the bad. But, and here's key. He said, what's more painful psychologically? Things being bad from the beginning or having it all and then suddenly losing it? Right? Having it and then losing it. Because then every time, because, right, it's one thing if life was always hard. But if you used to live in a mansion and then, you know, you went bankrupt and now you live in an apartment right now, right? It used to be that you had a walk-in closet, right? A big walk-in closet. Right, it's the way sometimes like Americans have this problem. They move to Israel, right? Even if they're happy in Israel, but like, you know, we used to have a walk-in closet that was the size of, you know, a bedroom. So it was very easy to store everything. And now, say what you want about Israeli houses, they're really not good with storage, right? They're not as big. They're built European. There aren't built-in closets at all, right? You have to buy closets, right? Like, right? So it's like, if you always had a small house, okay, so whatever, storage is hard. But when you make Aliyah and you come and now you're trying to stuff, right? The people who make Aliyah and think they're going to be able to have room for everything they brought from America, right? In a different style house, right? They put it all on their lift and then they're frustrated because it's harder, right? Because every time they try to stuff something in their closet, it's not just, oh, I don't have room. It's, oh, I used to have room, right? I'm not saying this is equivalent to Mitzrayim, but my point is having something and losing it. It was like when we went to Toronto, we specifically did not rent a big house. We rented, I don't know if you remember where I lived, but I lived in like a basement apartment on Tangerine, right? Why? Because we said, listen, we're going to be very happy in Israel, right? But how are we not going to be happy in Israel? We're setting ourselves up to not be happy in Israel if we rent a nice, big, you know, Canadian-style house, right? Which is just a different way of thinking about space, right? With a big kitchen and whatever. Right now, our kitchen was a hole in the wall, right, in Toronto. And now, even though our kitchen's not huge, it's an actual kitchen. We're very happy, right? But if we used to have something bigger, we'd be frustrated. Kal v'chomer, right? And that's going from good to good. It's just, right, not as big, not as good. But if you used to have it all and then you lose it, then anything that reminds you of the good is doubly bad, both because you're currently in a bad situation and because it psychologically pains you that you used to have something different. So the Ksav Sofer argues that this is why we use maror, right? That starts sweet and becomes bitter. Not because we're trying to remember the sweetness, but because the essence of the suffering in Mitzrayim was not just that things were bad, which they were, was specifically exacerbated by the fact that when the Jews had come to Mitzrayim, they had come as part of the royal family and everything was so good. So therefore, it's not just that we're slaves now, it's we're slaves who used to be the family of the viceroy. And therefore, it's by invoking memories of the good that we actually double down on how bad Mitzrayim was, not just physically, but psychologically. Which is, I think, a fascinating insight into why we specifically use Maror, which, as the Gemara says, is supposed to invoke memories, not just of the good, right? So it's not, right? One way of looking at it is that Maror is trying to commemorate the complexity. What he's saying is, no, you're remembering the good to highlight the nature of the torture that they had in Mitzrayim, which wasn't just, again, the suffering itself, but was the feeling of having lost something Okay.